5 times, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy about the importance of a clear conscience. One verse in particular reads this way in 1 Timothy 1:19, "Holding on to faith and a good conscience, some have rejected these and so have shipwrecked their faith." Isn't it interesting how a clear conscience and our faith are so closely tied together? One of the ways we can help our children carry their faith throughout the rest of their lives is to help them see the connection between the standard operating equipment of the conscience and their relationship with God.
We want our children to have clear consciences because it's so freeing for them in life. Listen to the story that Scott tells to illustrate this truth as we start the next session.
In this session, we want to talk about helping children have a clear conscience. Rick learned this the hard way. Rick was visiting his grandpa and grandma's house, and it was the first time he'd ever had a slingshot. He took it out back, and he was shooting the slingshot in the woods and couldn't hit a thing. He came back in the yard, and he saw grandma's favorite duck over there. Just on impulse, he pulled back the slingshot, shot the rock, and it hit the duck right in the head and killed the duck. The duck fell over dead. Rick was shocked. He went over there and grabbed the duck and stuffed him behind the woodpile, thinking no one would notice. But as he turned around, he saw his sister, Kara, right over there by the house. She had seen what he'd done. As they went in the house, they sat down to eat. Grandma said, "After dinner, Kara, I'd like you to help me with the dishes." Kara says, "Oh, no, that's okay. Rick, he wants to help with the dishes. Remember the duck." A little while later, Grandpa said, "Hey, this afternoon we're going to go fishing. You guys want to go with me?" Grandma says, "Well, Kara needs to stay and help me with some chores. Kara says, "I don't want to do that, but Rick, he wants to do that. He'll volunteer, won't you, Rick? Remember the duck." Well, this continued on for a couple of days where Rick was doing Kara's chores and his own chores. He didn't like it at all, so he finally decided he'd had enough. He went to Grandma and confessed. "Grandma, I want you to know I was playing in the backyard with the slingshot. I pulled it back and I shot your favorite duck. I'm really sorry he died." Grandma said, "I know, Rick. I watched you from the window. I saw it happen and I forgave you right away. I just wanted to find out how long you would allow Kara to make you a slave."
Children who have a guilty conscience are slaves and they need to be freed. We need to help children understand the value of a clear conscience and help them know how to get there in life.
Now, if we're going to talk about a clear conscience, we have to go back to what the Scriptures say. Remember that the Scriptures tell us in Hebrews 10:22 that the hearts are sprinkled in order to cleanse the conscience. So we know that God, through salvation, cleanses the conscience. Don't ever lose sight of that. We also look at the verse in Acts 24:16 where Paul says, "I strive to keep my conscience clear before God and man." You see, he's working at it. He's making it happen. He realizes that there's some very important work that he has to do. So both of those things are very important. We want to train our children to recognize the value of salvation in their lives. Salvation isn't just something that happens at church. It has a very important impact on our inner heart. It cleanses our conscience. But we also have work to do. We have a work to do to work that salvation out into our lives in a lot of different ways. And one of those ways is to work hard to keep our conscience clear. That means we need to do that both before God and man. That's important. So we want to share with you some parenting strategies that will help you to help your children obtain and maintain a clear conscience.
One of those strategies is to talk about the value of a clear conscience. And we can use all 4 of the areas of the conscience to talk about it. When we see our children demonstrate responsiveness to the conscience, doing the right thing, responding to the conscience, we want to make comments about that in their life. Maybe you see your child taking initiative to start his homework without being told. And so you want to affirm that and say, "Doesn't it feel good to be responsible, to do the right thing, to respond to the inner prompting of the conscience? You have a clear conscience when you do what's right." And so we want to point that out for our children. Maybe your child has been honest under pressure. You want to point that out. "Doesn't it feel good to have a clear conscience? Doesn't that feel nice to be clean on the inside because you were honest even when it was difficult?" Certainly when a child has done the wrong thing, if he's motivated to apologize and make that wrong right, we want to point that out, what it does for your conscience. Doesn't it feel good to have a clear conscience, to go through the difficult job of confessing and apologizing so that your conscience is clear? What a valuable gift that is to have a clear conscience. So we want to point that out to our children. And certainly as they're caring about others, we want them to know that they're responding to the promptings of the conscience when they respond to compassion. And that's a good thing. We're proud of them when they're able to respond to that inner prompting and maintain a clear conscience. So we can be pointing that out in life as we're working with our children, helping them to see that they can respond to those inner promptings. Even as a child, they can respond to the conscience and they can maintain a clear conscience in their life.
Now, many of those things that Joanne mentioned have to do with our human responsibilities. But we want to also encourage our children to talk to the Lord regularly. We want to come before God and confess our sins and ask Him to forgive us because He promises that He will do that. We want to accept Jesus Christ into our lives. We want a clear conscience before both man and God. Both of those are important in our children's lives.
And there are many practical benefits of a clear conscience. We want children to understand the practical benefits in their life because that's going to be a motivation for them to move forward and to be able to do the hard work to maintain that clear conscience. So we want our children to understand the practical benefits.
One of the benefits of a clear conscience is peace, that internal sense that you've done the right thing. Let's take the practical problem that many children experience, that life is unfair. Sometimes it's a bully that's bothering them, but sometimes it's that they have a coach who's harsh or makes tough decisions. Or maybe they have a teacher who's unrealistic, and the child just says, "This is unfair. I don't like this. This is not right." Now, in the bullying kinds of situations that children find themselves in, sometimes they can go and appeal to an authority. Sometimes they can go and confront a bully. Sometimes they can get help in order to deal with it. But there's another solution that children can use as well that's a conscience-based solution. Mom tried to do this with Abigail, who was only 5 years old. She was playing a game with her older sisters, but when it came time for her turn, they changed the rules so that Abigail didn't get a turn. Abigail was bothered by that, so she left them and went in the kitchen to be with Mom. Didn't say anything about it. But later that evening, when Abigail was going to bed, Mom saw that something was still bothering her. She asked her about it, and Abigail told her the story about playing the game and not getting a turn. Now, Mom could have done a number of things. She could have marched in there and told the girls that they weren't being kind to their sister. She could have taught her sister how to stand up for herself. And those things might have been fine. But in this case, Mom decided to read a verse of Scripture to her daughter. I like to use the same verse as I'm working with children who feel like life is unfair. It comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. It says this, "For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God." The word conscious isn't the same as the word conscience, but the idea here is that the actual word, the Greek word there in the passage, is the word conscience. That's our word. The idea is that the conscience is facing God. When you bear up under the pain of unjust suffering because your conscience is facing God, then that is commendable. It's good. You can feel good on the inside. That's what happens. Life is unfair sometimes. Sometimes children feel uncomfortable on the inside and they want to balance the scales of justice. They want to get revenge in order to feel better about life. Now, sometimes it's good to teach our children self-defense. Sometimes it's good to teach them to take a stand for what's right. Those things aren't wrong, but I think also it's very important for us sometimes to help our children to be able to accept the unfairness of life and do the right thing in the process. You see, many times our children, they do the wrong thing when they're mistreated and they justify it. There is no justification for doing the wrong thing. If someone else is mistreating you, you still want to do the right thing. And when you do, that is commendable before God. So the next verse, verse 21, says this in the passage, "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps." We are Christ-like when we are mistreated, yet we still do the right thing. We want our children to understand there's a peace inside. That's one of the benefits of a clear conscience. You did the right thing even when other people mistreated you. We want to teach our children that that's one of the benefits of a clear conscience. You want to keep that in your life. Do the right thing.
A second benefit of a clear conscience is boldness. Children can have a boldness about them when they have a clear conscience. The opposite of boldness is being timid, being fearful. And there are some people in life who are timid and fearful because they're hiding things. What if people find out who I really am? What if people find out what I've done? And so it develops a fearfulness in them. But if a child has a clear conscience, he can have a boldness about him, which can really enjoy in life. If a child makes a mistake, then he recognizes that correction is just something to be valued, and we can learn and grow from it. So we're not afraid to make mistakes because we know the value of correction. We know the value of learning from our mistakes and moving forward. So that's okay. So we can have a boldness about life. It's like Paul in Acts 23:1. We read about the boldness he had when he stood before the Sanhedrin because he had a clear conscience. He wasn't hiding anything. And so there was a sense of boldness in his life. And we want our children to enjoy that sense of boldness as well.
Another benefit of a clear conscience is courage. Heroes have courage, right? They're courageous. They don't have to worry about if someone's going to find out something about them that they don't want them to know because they've done the wrong thing. They don't have to worry that they've been dishonest and someone's going to figure it out. A hero is courageous, goes out and makes wrongs right, goes out and does the right thing. There's a sense of courage that our children can have. You see, having a clear conscience has so many practical benefits. There's just this sense inside of courage, of a peace inside. It's just a valuable thing for our children.
And another benefit, practical benefit of a clear conscience is a sense of accomplishment. I've worked hard and I've earned something the honest way. There's a sense of accomplishment associated with that that comes along with a clear conscience. My son was home from college not too long ago, and I was talking to him about a difficult week he had. He had four papers and projects due on the same day. Then 2 days later, he had two exams. He worked hard that week. And I asked him over the weekend, I said, how did you feel about your week? How did you do? Are you overwhelmed by the work? And he says, no, I feel like I did pretty well. I worked hard, but I think I did okay. I said, doesn't that feel good in your heart? Now, some parents would say, oh, you get $20 for every A you get. But wouldn't we rather see our children enjoy that sense of accomplishment? You work hard, you earn a good grade, you reach a goal, something accomplished that you've done, you've worked hard for it in an honest way. That feels good. And so we want to help children understand and enjoy that clear conscience, the feeling of accomplishment in their hearts.
Charles was 17 years old. He got a B on the final exam. His friend got an A, but his friend cheated. Charles had told his parents about this opportunity to cheat and that he decided he wasn't going to participate in it. So after the grades came out and Charles had gotten a B and his friend got an A, Dad decided to talk to Charles about it. Charles, how do you feel that you got a B on the exam and your friend got an A? Charles says, I feel fine about it. See, when I got the B, I can look out here and say, I earned a B. My friend has to look back here and say, I got an A. I like that. That's the conscience. It's a sense of accomplishments. There's a sense that I did it the right way. I did the right thing. There's a number of practical benefits of the conscience. So we want to be talking about the conscience with our children, talking about how valuable it is. Talk about your own struggles as you face them. Modeling this area of the conscience is very important. You'll find yourself in ethical dilemmas at work, challenged in your conscience in various areas. You want to share that with your child. You're modeling what it looks like to have a clear conscience. You're modeling for your child how to get a clear conscience. You want to obtain it, and then you want to maintain it. And you deal with that in regards to the prompting that God gives you inside of your heart, the prompting that comes from the conscience. You respond to it. You're making some important decisions about life every day. Life is made of all kinds of decisions. We're making those decisions every day. We're teaching our children, just by talking about the conscience, how important this is in their lives. Take a few minutes and consider this question before we go further. Given the age of your child, how might you raise the awareness level of the conscience?